This morning, Pastor Roger has chosen for his focus scripture, a scripture from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 15 through 21. And this is the parable of the rich fool. Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." God's word for God's people.
Sam had been suffering from a string of bad luck, and he was out one Saturday, saw a sign for garage sale. He liked to do the garage sales, drive around town, just like we have a whole bunch of them this weekend. He stopped in, and he's looking around, and found this little lamp, and he goes, "Hey, I kind of like that." He looked at it. It was a buck, so he gave the person a dollar, took the lamp home. He went into the kitchen, got home, took out the lamp. It was kind of tarnished and everything, so he started rubbing it. Poof! Out popped a genie. And the genie told Sam, "I am here to grant you whatever three wishes you would like." And Sam said, "I must be dreaming." And the genie says, "No, you are not dreaming. Would you like to wish you are dreaming?" Sam said, "No, no, no." Sam thought for a moment, and of course, we just had that billion-dollar lottery thing, so Sam said, "Genie, I wish for $1 billion. Poof! Two of his rooms of his house were filled with $100 bills. He goes, "This is kind of nice." And he said, "Genie, for my second wish, I wish for a 1965 Shelby Mustang GT350. The one built by Carroll Shelby. It's one of the best muscle cars ever. And I wish for it to be in the classic white color with those blue stripes along the top." No sooner had he finished, poof! A Mustang GT was in his garage. And the genie asked him, "What would you like for your third wish?" And the man said, "No, no, no, no. I only have one left. I want to make sure it's a good one." So the genie said, "Okay, but whenever you wish, it will be granted." The man says, "I know, I know." He goes, "But just, I'm going to wait just a little bit." The genie said, "All right." So the man wanted to, of course, get in that GT. So he went out into the garage, gets in a 1965 Shelby Mustang, fires it up, just listens to it in his garage, thinks, "I'm going to go show this off to my friends." So he backs out of the garage onto the street. He starts down the street, he turns on the radio, and he's singing along with the songs that are on the radio. Just going along in his GT, not too fast now, so others can see it. Comes, and then a commercial comes on, so of course he sings along right with it. "Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener." Poof! What would you have wished for? Come on. Come on, what would you have wished for? Now remember in your wishing what Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15. For Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Now hearing this, what do you wish for? For our scripture this morning from Luke deals with greed. Now, greed is defined by the Webster's Dictionary as wanting more than one needs or deserves. I'll say that again. Wanting more than one needs or deserves. But what happens if you receive more than you need? What if you have been so blessed by God with an abundance, either in talent or in finances, been blessed so much with the talent, and it's just been given to you? You know, whether it be money, investments, a talent you can do that people will pay you for. Or what if you're blessed in being a good farmer? As in our parable this morning. He has very good farming practices. So we have here in verse 16, Jesus told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. We know he's already a rich man. He's already been blessed. And then, in using his gifts or using the people who have the gifts, he was blessed even more with a better crop than he'd ever had before. I think Jesus is saying to us this morning, through this man, that we do not need to be afraid of possessions when they come to us. That they are a great privilege. Possessions are not evil. Money is not an evil. It's how you use what you have. That's what counts. How you use your possessions, how you use your money. That's what counts. So let's see how this man uses his good fortune as we read on in verses 17 and 18. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods." The rich man has a nice problem, doesn't he? His farm is so productive, he did not know where to store the remaining products. But look at his questions. He says, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." His questions focus on himself. Of course, if you have too many crops, you need to build more. You need to build bigger in order to store it so they don't spoil. That's good stewardship. But look at where his focus is then. In verse 18, "There I will store all my grain and my goods." Let me ask you this. Who furnished the soil for his crops? God. Who created the seed? I know he'll say, "Well, I grew it last year and I'm using it." Who created the seed, though, originally? God, so that he could grow those crops. Who created the sun to warm the earth and give it light? God. Who allowed it to rain just right to give this abundance? God. Who created the man and his gifts? God. And who gets the reward? The man says it's his. But whose is it, really? If the fields have brought forth an abundant blessing, it should be a blessing to God. And seeing where God would have him do with this, what God would have him do with the abundance, what God would have him do with all the grain, and God would have done with all the goods that are there. However, the man doesn't see it this way. Where shall I store all my grain and my goods? So the man's going to celebrate then. Celebrate, do you think, in God's way or his way? I think you kind of get a point on how he's going to celebrate. Verse 19, "And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." Now, while there's nothing wrong with the man rejoicing in the crop, there's nothing wrong with building more storage. But his basic flaw was in focusing completely on his wealth and on his own enjoyment. The man was only concerned with laying up good things for himself. He was concerned with no one else. And of course, he wasn't caring about God. In the late 1990s, early 2000s, there was a craze going on throughout the country. Beanie Babies. I lived in Shenandoah, Iowa. The dad of two young daughters and my wife, they got into the craze. Yes, the Beanie Baby craze. Down at Jay's China and Glass in Shenandoah, three times a week, they would get an order in of Beanie Babies. And if you went down to Jay's on the morning they got their order in, when they opened up, there was a line down the street to buy Beanie Babies. My daughters, they would each buy one, and my wife would buy one. She likes a bunch of them. Hey, it was a nice thing to collect. They were inexpensive. I remember one time my wife told me, my daughter, she got her Beanie Baby, and she then took off the tag. And a woman near him said, "What are you doing?" And my daughter looks at her and says, "Taking off the tag." "No, no, no, you need to keep the tag on it. It ruined its value." My daughter goes, "I'm going to play with it." See, Beanie Babies became collectibles. They were going to make money off them. So we're going to spend our money on them and use it for an investment. Spending all of our time, and we buy all the everything, the protectors for each of the tags. And you buy the boxes to put in each one. And an industry was developed all around Beanie Babies. And now you can go buy them for $1 or $2 each. Oh, but there are the rarer ones. But my daughter just wanted to play with them. Isn't that why they were done at first? What do you collect? Why do you collect it? Jesus isn't speaking out against what I would say is toys. The things you find enjoyment in. If you collect, fine. But don't let it control your life. Even if you have fun with it, great. Don't let it control your life. But if you're just looking for the investment and what you're going to make from it. Like I said at the beginning of the service, I collect fountain pens. I restore old fountain pens made here in Sioux City from three companies that were here in the 19-teens and 1920s. And you know what? I restore other fountain pens and stuff. I've got too many fountain pens, yes. I got too many toys, my wife would say, in looking at it. But I find enjoyment with it. They haven't taken much of my money. Yeah, I like to go hunting for them as well in the antique stores. But it doesn't control my life. Because that is not the center of my life. I keep trying to keep God at the center of my life. If you collect, whether it's Beanie Babies or coins and currency, fountain pens, baseball cards, figurines, autographs, whatever it may be, if you only do it though to enrich yourself, you are what? Well, we have God's own words here in verse 20. If you only do it to enrich yourself. But God said to him, "You fool. You're a fool." The rich man made a fatal mistake, for he had forgotten to put God at the center of his life. And this makes him a fool. He was concerned only with what he would get. And that, as verse 20 and 21 put it so well, makes him, and us when we do it, a fool. Reading from 20 and 21. But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you'll get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it'll be with everyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." When that farmer dies, what has he stored up? Grain and money. And how good is that in heaven or hell, wherever he may be going? You see, the common theme, the common saying that's been given, it's what fools say. Fools say, whoever has the most toys when they die wins. We've heard that saying or something like it. Whoever has the most toys when they die wins. But a Christian, Christian says, whoever has the most joys, that person wins. Joys. The joy in living as a servant to God through Jesus Christ. The joy in being blessed by God's abundance in your life by using your gifts. The joy. Joy in giving to others from that abundance that God has blessed you with. Whatever that abundance may be, of your time, your talent, your gifts, your witness, your service, any of those. The joy. The joy in having God at the center of your life and being able to use your abundance for God, and oftentimes that can be through the church. The rich man. He was a fool, for he only gives to himself. The Christian? The Christian gives of himself or herself. The rich man, the fool, has a lot of toys, but not much joys. The Christian, they have some toys, but they have far, far more joys. A friend of mine named Merrill Skinner, he went to a hospital. It was a Monday night in the past, many years ago. And Merrill needed emergency surgery. Financially, Merrill had a pension from working at the post office and retiring from it. Had a nice pension, had very nice investments. He was set up. He was doing well. But all of a sudden, what goodwill is that to him when he's on that table in surgery and may not make it? Merrill, though, no. He knew he was blessed. He had great faith, and he kept God at the center of his life, even when all the abundance came. He was not like that rich man, but he knew he was a rich man. He knew he was rich in what he could give to others. He knew he was rich in joys. Yeah, he had his toys. He had his golf clubs. You know, he'd get a new club every once in a while. He had a strange golf swing, but he hit the ball wonderful with it. He had his golf cart. He had his other things, his computers. He would always be getting a newer computer. Yes, he had his toys. But he had many, many more joys. Joys in living as a servant of God. Joy in being blessed by God's abundance. Joy in giving to others. The joy in having God at the center of his life. How are you doing? Take a look at your toys. Take a look at your joys. It's okay to have the toys. Okay, as long as the toys do not overwhelm your life. Do not make you forget who's the source of that great gifts to give you that abundance. If you have more toys than joys, then you need to start moving God to the center of your life and not put yourself at the center of your life. For it is not the one who dies with the most toys that wins. It's each person who dies with the most joys. They win. They win because they will be blessed. Which do you have more of? Toys or joys? Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. Generous God, you have blessed each one of us in numerous ways, yet we do not often say thank you enough. So I invite you to pray a thank you to God for the many, many joys God has given you. And Lord, may we just not take this time to say thank you for our joys, but may we do it continually and throughout the week as we see the abundance you start for us. Just as that soil, it wasn't made by the farmer, it was made by you to give him that abundance. That we realize how you have blessed us and that you are a part of all that blessing. But Lord, in the midst of all our blessings, we also run into hard times in our lives. tough decisions that need to be made. And we're supposed to seek your guidance. So I invite you to pray for a tough decision you are dealing with in your life and silently pray for God's direction in that situation. And I pray that each of you be open to how God's Holy Spirit will direct you. For what if that farmer, instead of saying, "What shall I do with my grain? What shall I do with this abundance for me?" he would ask, "What would God have me do with this grain? What would God have me do with this abundance? What would God have you do in that situation?" And just as we have hard decisions to make in our lives, each of us know of others who are dealing with tough decisions that they have to make in their life. So I invite you to pray for God's Holy Spirit to lead those as you lift up in your silent prayers others you know who have tough decisions to make today. Sometimes the decisions, Lord, like with this farmer, are from an abundance of goodness, and sometimes they're not. We pray for those who've had an abundance of goodness with others being a part of their life, but that other has now died, and they're grieving their death. May they see how they have been blessed by them. But we also pray for those who are enduring flooding and other natural disasters, for others are there to help them in the name of Christ. We pray for your will to be done in not just our lives, but also in the towns that we live in the states that we're at, in this country that we are blessed to be a part of, and in your world. We pray for all that your will be done. For so often people end up being like that rich farmer. They just focus on what they can do, what they can get out of it, instead of looking at how you have blessed them in the midst of that and what they can give to you. Decisions needing to be made, Lord. We know you're there. So whether it's a chronic condition or whether it's an upcoming procedure, you have provided the help for each and every one of us. But it's our decision and what we do with that. You know, just as the farmer had choices to make in his life, so we too have choices to make in ours. And one of those choices is to follow Jesus or not. One of those choices is to have him be a part of your decision-making each and every day. So I invite you to lift up a silent prayer for Jesus to be in your life and for him to guide you in your decisions. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray and saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."